So there is something fishy about Jesus. He recruits his first followers by calling fishermen from fishing for fish to become fishers of people. There is something fishy about Jesus. There's a story of the miracle of the great catch. The fishermen have been out fishing all night. They have caught absolutely nothing. They are exhausted. They are exasperated. Muscles aching, hungry, done in. They head for shore. They get to shore, and Jesus climbs into one of their boats. And he instructs them to put out again to sea. They sputter and protest, but then they oblige Jesus. And when they get out to sea, he says, "Put down your nets." They put down their nets, and within minutes they are filled, swarming, filled to bursting with fish. There is something fishy about Jesus. There is the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Jesus sets out to produce a picnic for thousands of people. But he starts with not really quite enough ingredients. He has a few loaves of bread and two fish. But by the end of the picnic, thousands of people have fed. All are filled and satisfied. There is something fishy, something irregular about Jesus. There is the post-resurrection fish fry. Do you remember that? Jesus has been crucified. He had died. His ruined body had been anointed, shrouded, and placed in a tomb. His followers scatter. Some of them resuming their old lives, and some of them returning to fishing. So some of them are fishing in the Sea of Tiberias, and Jesus appears on the beach. This is the resurrected Jesus. He appears on the beach. He has built a charcoal fire, and he is grilling fish on the fire and toasting bread. And he motions to his friends to come over, come in. They haul in the nets, heave the boats up onto the sand, wipe the sand and grit from their hands, and walk over to Jesus. And this one who had been crucified, dead and buried, is feeding them breakfast. A breakfast of grilled fish and toast. There is something fishy about Jesus. He is born in landlocked Bethlehem. He grows up in landlocked Nazareth. But he is drawn to the water, to the Jordan River, to the Sea of Galilee, to the Dead Sea, to fish, fishing, fishermen, and fish stories. There is something fishy about Jesus, something irregular and odd, something slightly suspicious. In fact, I wonder, did you detect the ominous news that opened this fish story? The story opens with the worrying news of John's arrest. John's arrest is all the talk. News of John's arrest is whispered up and down the Jordan River from the Hillel Valley in the north to the Dead Sea in the south. John is locked away somewhere behind bars. He is without counsel, without advocate, without the protection of law. He is in the hands of Herod, which is very grim news indeed. And here's what's happened, just the facts. Herod is well married when he falls in love with another woman. As it happens, this other woman with whom he falls in love is also married. No matter. Herod rids himself of his wife by divorce. His new love rids herself of her husband by divorce. And the two, now liberated of previous and inconvenient encumbrances, get married. Who'd ever heard of such a thing? So John takes exception to these marital machinations. John condemns Herod loudly and publicly. And Herod does not receive these challenges to his morality with either grace or with the repentance for which John calls. Instead, determined to silence such despicable charges, Herod has John arrested, and he throws him into jail. And as you know, the story ends very, very badly for John. Herod, more or less on a whim, has him beheaded. This is the background and the context for Jesus' call to these first disciples. Jesus and John are cousins, associates, comrades, and partners in this work of bringing in the kingdom of God. So you see, there really is something fishy about Jesus, something suspicious about this one who is in cahoots with John, who dares challenge Herod. Herod's morality, Herod's character, Herod's religious and family values. People like Herod, public figures, powerful officials, they tend to take umbrage at being challenged or called out in this way, or at least that's the way it was in the first century of the Common Era. So when Jesus hails Simon and Andrew, James and John, when he hails them and he says to them, "Come with me, come, follow me, I will make you fishers of people." The truth is they have some inkling of the danger of this kind of work. They know that if they associate with this fishy Jesus, they will become fishy by association. They know that there is a good chance that what befell John is likely to befall Jesus and will likely befall them as well. Such is the context of the call to Simon and Andrew, James and John. Is it a wonder? It is a wonder then, is it not, that they drop their nets and answer this call? So what is it about this kingdom work, this God work, this fishing for people that makes it so dangerous? In John's case, it was his assumption that the rich and the mighty are accountable to the same code of ethics as the poor and the meek. Imagine that. John assumed that Herod, a Jewish king, was bound by the same moral standards to which the Torah held all Jews. Not only had Herod openly defied two of Judaism's top 10 sacred commandments, a top 10 code, you remember this code of ethics carried down from Mount Sinai by Moses, and two of them, thou shalt not covet and thou shalt not commit adultery. Not only did Herod defy two commandments, he did it so blatantly, so frequently, for all to see without a twinge of remorse. It is to this that John objects. It is for his objection that John is arrested, jailed, and eventually beheaded. When Jesus calls Simon and Andrew and James and John, when he calls them from their nets and calls them into a way of life that honors the ancient and holy codes, codes of ethics, he invites them to live a way of life in accordance with God. When Jesus calls us, and he must have, look, you're here, right? When Jesus calls us, he calls us into a way of life boundaried and bordered by ethical codes and mores by which we honor God and each other. The world is so askew. It was so askew in the first century, and some might think it's askew as well today, that to the world there is something fishy about such moral living, something fishy about living ethically. Well, I want to be that kind of fishy. We are a people, We are a people marked and formed by baptism. Like fish, we too are born in water. Which is why the early Christians chose the fish as a symbol for Jesus and his followers. Not the cross, that came later, but the fish. Because like fish, we too are born in water. How many of you have seen the YouTube video, Why I Hate Religion But Love Jesus? A few, not too many. Well, go look at it. It's got about over 16 million hits as of this morning. The author claims that if grace is water, the church should be an ocean. Let this church be lake and river and sea and ocean. Let's go fishing. Amen.